Purim.
I thought I knew
all the shows. Right by Yankee Stadium.
Nah. That's not our park. So this is more for me than for Rabbi Simon. Thank you. So I think almost everyone here knows Rabbi Simon, a Rosh Yeshiva from YU, someone who is really incredibly accessible for me as a rabbi here from day one, the person who was the biggest resource, the most consistent resource, and able to be accessed 5 times a day or 10 times a day is Rabbi Simon. So whether you know it or not, we have all, as a community, benefited tremendously from Rabbi Simon, not just maybe when we knew him in YU, but certainly his role in guiding us directly or indirectly through shilas that have been posed to me and then for me to him. So it's a real excitement that I get to Rabbi Simon. He's been coming consistently at a relatively busy time of the year for many years. It's great to be able to have you, and that's what I'm going to do.
Okay, thank you, Rabbi Hinden. It's always a pleasure to be here. We were making a cheshbon with Mrs. Gelnick about how many years I've been coming Chol HaMoed Sukkos a couple of rabbis ago, and it's always a highlight of my Chol HaMoed. It used to be part of a Simchas Beis HaShoeva celebration, and now it's just a Shir on its own right, but whatever it is, it's still a wonderful opportunity to come here and visit and share Divrei Torah with you. And it's always a challenge to discuss what should be the topic, Sukkos, this, that. So this year is a unique year. It's the Motzai Shemitah. So we could either talk about, which esrog you're supposed to buy, but you already bought your esrogim. So we're not going to talk about that. You can listen online to a shiur I gave on that, but you already did whatever you did, so it's all good. Another possible unique topic for this year is the mitzvah of Hakel. Because this year is a Hakel year, Motzai Shemitah, and it's not something that we do really b'zman hazeh. Some have a zecher l'Hakel, but the real Hakel and the melech and the whole thing we don't have in its pristine form when there was a Beis HaMikdash, etc., and they had it, so I thought it was a good opportunity to review some of the highlights regarding this mitzvah of Hakel, and both as I named the Hilchos of Halicha, halachas regarding Hakel, and the perhaps lessons to be learned from this mitzvah. So the Torah tells us in Parshas Vayelech, Eitzav Moshe Osom Limor Miketz Sheva Shonim B'moed Shnas Hashmito B'chag HaTzukos. So Miketz Sheva Shonim, after 7 years, we'll see that not all Rishonim agree to how you read this pasuk. Rashi and Chumash Miketz Sheva Shonim B'shona Rishona Shal Shmita Shi Hashana Hashminis. So that's the year we're just entering. We just finished the Shemitah year, so now we're in the eighth year, the first year of the new cycle. So, and that's when this mitzvah is applicable. It says, "Bevolchol Yisrael Eirosas Pnei Hashem Elokecha B'Makom Asher Yivchar Tikra Es HaTorah Hazos Neged Kol Yisrael Bozneihem." So there was a public Kriyas HaTorah that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. And this public Kriyas HaTorah, the Torah says, Hakel Asa'om, Ha'anoshim, V'Hanoshim, V'Ataf, V'Gercha, Asher B'Sharecha. Yet to everyone, men, women, children, are part of this gathering. L'man Yishmu, L'man Yilmadu, V'Yoros Hashem Elokeichem, V'Shomer L'Asos, it's called Divrei HaTorah Hazos. And then it says, V'Bneim Asher Lo Yadu. In other words, your sons that are not able to comprehend what's going on, Yishmu v'lamdu l'yiras Hashem Elokeichem. Kol hayomim asher tem chayim al adama. They'll still have a dosage of Yiras Shamayim being present at this particular gathering. So it was, you know, it's, you can imagine the flavor in the air. I mean, the excitement in the air. The king is reading this this part of the Torah, and this big gathering is taking place. So let's discuss a little bit about the halacha, and there's a very interesting discussion about the halacha of hakel. And you wouldn't think this would be the focal point of the discussion, but we'll go through what the discussion is. You'll find it's a fascinating discussion. And then we'll go into a little hashkafa, and then hopefully tie in the halacha and the hashkafa together. So what does the Torah tell us? What does the Mishnah tell us in Sota on page 3 in Mem Aleph Amud Aleph? Parshas HaMelech Ketzad. So how did it work? In other words, the Parshas HaMelech, meaning the mitzvah of Hakel, when the king reads the Torah. How did it work? So it says like this. Motzoi Yontov HaRishon Shel Chag. It's the Motzoi Yontov Rishon Shel Chag. Right, so it's right after the first day of Yontov. And Yerushalayim is one day of Yontov. So Motzoi Yontov Rishon. The Motzoi Shvi'is. In Motzai Shvi'is, so that's the eighth year where we're holding now. Osim lo bima shel eitz ba'azara. So first, they constructed a platform for the king. It wasn't that the king just stood on the ground there. They made a very, impressive platform in the azara. Hu yoshev aleha, and he sits there on it. And then Chazan HaKnesses Notel Sefer Torah, and then the Sefer Torah was given from the Chazan, the Shamas, and he gave it to the Rosh HaKnesses, all these different positions that they had. Rosh HaKnesses gave it to the Skan, the Vice President, the Skan gave it to the Kohen Gadol gives it to the Melech, and the Melech Omed Umekabel Vekore. Okay. There is a halacha that's a pasuk in Chumash in Parshas Shoftim on page 5. It says, "Lo sitolocha asherah kol eitz." You're not allowed to plant an asherah, a tree of avodah zarah, near the mizbeach. So says the Sifrei on page 5, Melamed shekol hanoteya asherah over below sase. And anyone who plants an asherah violates a law in the Torah. It means if you plant it near the Mizbeach. Uminayin loteya ilon ubone bayis bahara bayis shu over below sase talmud lomar kol eitz. So the Sifrei tells us a chiddush that it's not only a tree. The simple reading, the pasuk says, "Asherah kol eitz," a tree. So he says, "No, bone bias." In other words, if you erect a structure near the mizbeach, we'll see. Most probably means a wooden structure near the Mizbeach. That, as well, is what? Is a violation of this general Isser of planting a tree near the Mizbeach. So the obvious question, and the obvious question that's going to be raised then, is how did this law in the Torah of not planting a tree, and the Sifrei extends it to any wooden structure in the Beis HaMikdash, seems that any time they're going to do the mitzvah of Hakel, they're violating, if this is the way you do it, the way the Mishnah posits it, wouldn't that be a violation of this law in the Torah? And if you look in the Yalkut Shimoni on page 7, and this is a fascinating discussion, it says, Lo tzito lecha ashera hatora omra v'ashareyem tisrufun ba'esh kavachomer shaluyita minayim shaluyikayim talmono moshi tocha mekom ocho dover acher afilu bayis afilu sukkah. Which is a fascinating discussion. In other words, the Kohanim, when they had to eat in the Beis HaMikdash, so they ate, say, menachos, that was matzah, that was has a status of bread, right? So so what did they do on Sukkos? So, meaning certain things of higher level Kedusha had to be consumed in the Azara. Had to be consumed in the Azara. So the Korbanos that were made out of meat. So meat, technically, you can eat a chutzla sukkah, unless, as some Rishonim and Rav Abadi pointed out, and the Ritva says, if it's your meal, really you should have it in the sukkah, even if it's not you're washing on bread, because it's your meal. So how did it work in the Beis HaMikdash, the concept of the sukkah and the Beis HaMikdash? In other words, we started off with the question, what about Hakel? How did that work in the Beis HaMikdash? Because you had to build a wooden structure for the king to be on top of it. Okay, that's one question. Now we're asking another question. What's with the sukkah? And how is the sukkahs observed in the Beis HaMikdash? And the Yalkut Shimoni says, afilu bayis, afilu sukkah. Now, if you look in the Rambam on page 9, so in Halacha Tess he writes, Hanotea ilan etzel ha-mizbeach, if you actually plant the tree next to the mizbeach, o b'chol azara bein srach bein ilan machal, whether it's a non-fruit, ilan srach is a non-fruit bearing tree, or a fruit-bearing tree, ilan machal, avol pishasol lenoi lemikdash, even though your intent was to beautify the base of mikdash, the yofilo hareza loke. It's mamish a lav in the Torah. That's the pasuk. Shenema losita locha sheir kolaitz. What's the reason? Mipnei shehayozed derech ovdei kochavim. Because that was what the people of Avodah Zarah used to do. Notim ilonos v'tzad mizbeach shalah kidei shikapsu sham ha'am. They would plant a tree right outside the church or whatever. So if we would plant a tree near the mizbeach, that's derech Avodah Zarah. That's halacha tes. In halacha yud, the Rambam writes, osu lasos achsadros shal eitz b'mikdash, derech she'osim v'chatzeros afu pishu v'binyan v'eino eitz natua. In other words, you might think the pasuk is only talking about a plant, a tree, but the Rambam says no, as we saw from the Sifrei and the Yalkut Shimoni, any wooden structure afu pishu eino eitz natua, even if it's not a planted thing. But he says harchoki yiserihi shenemar kol eitz. It's an extra harchaka. So, now does he mean that it's only the Rabbanon, or does he mean that sometimes, you know, Rav Yosef Engel points out that sometimes the Torah makes gzeiros. Usually, like the first Mishnah in Shas. says, really, you can say Kriya Shema the whole night. But we're afraid, if you're going to say it the whole night, you're going to forget, and then you're going to look at your clock, it's already the next morning, and you didn't say it. So, say it by midnight. Right? That's the. So that's a hachaka that the Chachamim imposed. But Rav Yosef Engel says, sometimes you have a hachaka that the Torah imposed. For example, he quotes the Ran in Pesachim, that says, how come on Pesach, not only you can't eat chametz, but you can't own chametz. So the Ran says, it's because we're afraid if you're going to own it, you will come to eat it. So that, in other words, the Torah itself made the gezerah. The Torah itself made the harchaka. So the Ran is saying it's a harchaka because it says shedemer kol eitz, but it could be maybe it's even a daraisa. So the Rambam says, "Kol achzeros v'haschachos hayotzes ben aksolim shayu b'mikdash shel evin hayu lo shel eitz." So the Rambam says, "So anything that they, any structure that they had to make in the mikdash, they made it out of stone, not out of wood. So if it's stone, that's too far removed." If it's made out of stone, that's too far removed. The only problem is, what does he mean it was made out of stone? The Mishnah in Sota that we just learned says that what? It says, Osim bima shel eitz. Right? So the Ravid, right away, is sensitive to this, and he says, Amar Avram, Lishkos ha'etz bayis hoysa bima shel etz she'osim lemelch b'shas hakel l'shaita hoysa. So he's sensitive, the Ravid is sensitive, and he says that the answer is that if it's very temporary in nature, in other words, they put it up only for the day. So anyway, Rambam himself agrees it's only a harchaka, because the real iser, the real hard fast iser, was the eitz. It's not from the Rambam that you don't get malchus for the, you know, for a structure that's not the tree, right? But the Ravid says that since it's only l'shaita, it's very temporary, it's only put up for the day and taken down, so that wouldn't violate even that restriction. Yeah, but what about the...
Why can't this be part of the an extension of the Mikdash? Like the sukkah that's required to be karbonos, it should be part of the act of binyan.
But it's not. It's not. I mean, part of the binyan means this is a table, and that's the walls. So this is not part of the binyan. You want to say, since you might need it, that becomes part of it, but maybe not. We'll see. So the Ravid, and then the Ravid has another question. In other words, Simchas Beis HaShoeva in the Beis HaMikdash. So where did that take place? The Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Where was all the festivities? Where was that? That was in the Ezra's Noshim, right? That part of the... So it was in the women's section. So it means that the men took over the women's section for the night. So what did they do with the women? So the women they sent upstairs, and they made what? They made a balcony for them. So that's the whole discussion of Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Satmar Rebbe about how tall a mechitza needs to be in a shul revolves around that discussion of what type of balcony was it in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's where the whole, but so we're not here to discuss that tonight, we can discuss that a different time, but here we're discussing, but that balcony also the Ravid has understood that it was Shal Eitz. So how is that Mutter? So he says the same thing, the balcony that was Besimchas Beis HaShoeva L'Shaita Haisa. That was only what? It was only temporary. And temporary is okay. Now, what does the Rambam say? So there is another Rambam and another Ravid that, besides this one, it's interesting, they point out in the Hilchas Avodah Zarah, in Hilchas Beis HaBechira, this same discussion rehashes. And take a look on page 11 in the Rambam. The Rambam says in Halacha Tes, "Ve'ein bonim bo eitz bolet klal." The Rambam says you can't, again, as he repeats himself, you can't have wood in the Azara. El avanim, you could have either stone or levanim or brick, sid, plaster. Ve'ein osin achzadra shel eitz b'chol ha'azara el shel avanim or levanim. So what's the answer? What about, you know, all those questions that the Ravid himself posited? So the Kesef Mishnah is going to point out, if you look in the Ravid here, at some point down, the Ravid gives a different teretz than what he said in Hilchas Avodah Zarah. Look what he says here. Ein bonim shel eitz. Amar Avram, halo lishchas kohen gadol shel eitz haiso, v'simchas beis ha'shoeva, makifin kol azara, gzustra, el lo azra Torah, kol eitz, el eitz al mizbach Hashem, vi ezras kohanim, ishar niknor v'lefnim, v'l ezras nashim v'har abayis mutter. So the Ravid says, and this, I think the Kesef Mishnah says, is perhaps how the Rambam is going to learn, is that Eitzel Mizbach Hashem El Kecha, you have to be near the Mizbeach. Near the Mizbeach was where the Kohanim in the Azara did the Avoda. But then there's the part of the Azara that even if you weren't a Kohen, you were allowed to walk into. And then there was, further out of that, was where the women were able to walk into. So the part that, the Ravid says that's explaining the Rambam that Simchas Beis HaShoeva we know for sure, and Hakel as well, took place in the Ezras Nashim. And Memela, if it took place in the Ezras Nashim, that is not part of the Isser, because it's part of the Azara, but it's not close enough to be called Eitzel Mizbach Hashem Elokecha. And Memela, it wouldn't be part of the, which the Sefer Nachlas Shimon points out is very interesting, because that's not what the explanation he gave in Hilchas Avodah Zarah. Hilchas Avodah Zarah, unless some explain over here, he's saying it maybe within the Rambam's view, there he's saying his own view. In other words, there could be, there's some point out, maybe there is a machlokus of where Hakel took place. Did it take place in the Ezras Anoshim, or there is a place in the Ezras Noshim? So if you want to say it took place in the Ezras Anoshim, so then you have to come on to the other teretz that he gave, that since it's what? It's very temporary, it's okay. But if you want to say the other way, that it took place in the Ezras Noshim, so the Ezras Noshim was far enough to not have this problem. It's interesting, others point out that the Yerushalmi also discussed this halacha in reference to the wooden structure that was put in the Azara. Because look in the there's a Mishnah in Megillah here. We'll take a look on page 12. There's a Mishnah in Megillah. And the Mishnah in Megillah says there are certain things that we postpone, and certain things we make earlier. Like Tisha B'Av. Right? Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, so we postpone it. Right? Certain things we make earlier. So, Hakel. Ma'achrin v'lo makdimin. So what's the issue with Hakel? So the Gemara says, what if the day of Hakel, first day of Chol HaMoed, is Shabbos? So the Gemara, the Mishnah says, you couldn't have Hakel on Shabbos. So why not? Why can't you have Hakel, page 12? Why can't you have Hakel on Shabbos? What's wrong with having Hakel on Shabbos? We read the Torah on Shabbos. Right? So what's wrong with having the king read the Torah on Shabbos? Why can't you have Hakel on Shabbos if the first day of Chol HaMoed would fall out on Shabbos? So the Yerushalmi says on page 13. Look what it says. Rabba b'rei d'Ravchia ba Omar mipnei hatkiya. Because together with Hakel, they used to blow. They would blow the shofar, the chatzotzos, or whatever. So therefore, it wasn't proper to blow on Shabbos. Rav Yitzchak Berachia Amar, Mipnei Habima. The reason why you don't have Hakel on Shabbos is because, as the Korban Eder says, Mipnei Habima. You couldn't build the Bima on Shabbos. So, it's interesting. The Yerushalmi asks, the whole reason that you can't have it on Shabbos is Habima. So what's the big deal? So build it the day before. V'yasu osa me'esmol. Right? And keep the date. But you have to postpone it, keep the date, just build the Bima the day before. So the Yerushalmi gives two answers why you can't. Number one, shelo litchok es ha'azorah. But you have to realize, we're doing it during Yontif. Yontif is the busiest time in the Beis HaMikdash. Everyone's around for Aliyah L'Regel. That's the biggest time in the year. So what are you going to build this wooden structure in the Azara? It's going to, you know, a traffic jam in the Azara. Right? Shalom litchot es Azara. That's one answer. But look at the second answer. Amar Rav Matanya al Shem lo sita lecha asheira kol eitz. That the reason why you can't do it before is because if you do it before, you will violate lo sita. In other words, I guess to do it just for the day, sort of like what the Ravid said originally. Okay, that's part of the mitzvah. You want to say, like you said, it becomes part of the structure, maybe like what you suggested. But if you would, so that's okay for the day that's needed. That's not part of the harchaka. That's not part of this. But if you would build it a day before, then you're violating this prohibition of lo sita halacha asherah koletz. That's what the Yerushalmi says. So that's what some point at. This whole discussion that the Rambam and Ravid has, the Yerushalmi was sensitive to it as well. And it's clear from the Yerushalmi that there would be a problem. In other words, if you say like what the Ravid is saying in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, that Ezra's Noshim, so either the Yerushalmi, some say, held that it wasn't an Ezra's Noshim, maybe it was held it was a different place, that, or he holds that even Ezra's Noshim would be a problem. But clearly, there is a potential problem. You see, the way the Ravid was saying in Hilchos Beis HaBechira is there's no problem in Ezra's Noshim. But you see clearly that there is a problem. It's just that if you just do it on that day, it'll be okay. But if you do it a day before, it would be a problem. Because if you hold that there's no problem in the Ezra's Nachim, so then even the day before, presumably would not have been a problem, perhaps. On page 14 in the Panim Yafos, The Panim Yosfos is a classical sefer. If you don't have one, you should buy one. It's written by the Haflah. Now they come out with nice editions with notes and mafteach. You know, they have a very nice edition. So if you don't have one, it's all on the whole Chumash, and it's, I would say, many of you are familiar with the Meshech Chachma, so that type of sefer. So it's sort of like that, maybe a little bit more halachic. Meshech Chachma has both halacha and this. It's a classical work on Chumash by the Baal Haflah. So he says the following on page 14. He says, "Bialkut Tavar Achar Afil Bayis Afil Sukkah." So he goes back to what we saw in the Yalkut Shimoni, that you can't build a sukkah in the Beis Hamikdash, because that's a violation. Nirad Hadak Omar Afilu Sukkah Hainu Sukkahs Mitzvahs B'chag Sh'akonim Ochlim Lechem Haponim. Right, the Kohanim ate Lechem Haponim, which was matzahs. Right? And when did they eat it? Every Shabbos. In fact, there's a whole discussion in the Mefarshim, what happens when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. You're not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. So what happened with the Lechem Haponim that year? It's a whole discussion. But the Kitzer, Lechem Haponim was matzahs, so L'chor required a sukkah. So in the Hadakamar field sukkah, how do sukkahs mitzvahs b'chag shakonim ochlim lechem haponim, shuri ha-menachas chutz l'sukkah? Hatam kevin she'osu l'asu sukkah ba'azorah heim p'turim min ha-sukkah. So he says, you're right. They really should have been eaten in the sukkah, but you can't build a sukkah, and they have to be eaten in the azorah. So Mamela, they eat it without a sukkah, because you can't make a sukkah in the azara. Tzorach lomer mashakosu b'yalkut, but the yalkut says chakach sukkos lehedyot minayin af l'gavo talmud chovach l'Hashem. But don't we have a yalkut that says chakach sukkos is not only for your mundane consumption, but it's also for gavoa, for eating something of kachim. Haynu b'lachmei toda. So he says, well, that's referring to lachmei toda. Lachmei toda were 40 loaves. 30 of them were matzahs, and 10 of them were chametz. But those were what? Those were eaten where? Yerushalayim. So then you could. That's not a problem. So that's how he explains that the Yalkut that says that you can't make a sukkah for Lechem Haponim, that's talking about things that have to be eaten in the Azara. So therefore, you can't make a sukkah in the Azara. And therefore they're potter from a sukkah. And the halacha that you can eat, that you eat in the sukkah, even karbanos of bread nature, that's referring to the Lachmei Toda. It's interesting, in this Sefer Bavo Kol Yisrael on page 15, he wants to give an original idea of why it was that the whole Hakel took place in the Azara. He says, Lulei the Mestafina, Shlomo David Kahana says, Lulei Mestafina, Haisi Omer Shakriya Bazar, Ezes Noshim, Hoysa Bitam, the Beinan Kriya Bemikdash. This is a fascinating suggestion. That there was a special Sefer Torah that was kept in the Azara. And that's the Sefer Torah that was used for Hakel. And there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. People don't realize this halacha. But the halacha in Shulchan Aruch says that you're not allowed to take a Sefer Torah from place to place. Not allowed to take a Sefer Torah from place. It's a bizarion for the Sefer Torah. You can't just say, "Oh, we're going camping, so we're gonna take a Sefer Torah with us." No, the Sefer Torah has to. You go to the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah doesn't come with you. It's a bizarion to the Sefer Torah to take a Sefer Torah. So therefore, that's why they had to do it dafka in the Azara, because they use the Sefer Torah of the Azara. So Memela, also, why didn't they do it? If you hold it as it's Noshim, why didn't they do it, you know, even closer in? They should have done it. Elimination Isser HaYeshiva Hitiru L'Taltala, because there's an is, because there's certain parts of the Azara you're not allowed to sit down, so, and the Melech was sitting down, so not to, so therefore we do it as close as we can to where the Sefer Torah was, but not in a place where we would violate the Isser of Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara. So this is an important halacha that comes up a lot, you know, comes up in Beis Ovels, you know, what's the heter of bringing a Sefer Torah to a Beis Ovel. So that's why some are makpid to have a little Aron Kodesh to make it a makom kavua. It's not just so it gives it, because the whole idea is it's not considered kovedik to take out a Sefer Torah from place to place. So some say if you read it a certain amount of time it's okay, but some say you have to have a makom kavua. So Rabbi David Willow pointed out you have to have a makom kavua for the Sefer Torah. You know, a question that comes up a lot is in some shuls on Simchas Torah. Some shuls have this idea that it adds to the excitement of Simchas Torah if you, for the last hakafah, you go out in the street. Right, there are a lot of communities that do that. So there's a whole discussion: is that a violation of this halacha or not? Because I don't know. Is it? So Rav Avad Yosef wrote a tshuva where he permitted it, but one could question that is it such a, is it really a covet for the Sefer Torah? Maybe it is. Maybe you're dancing with the Sefer Torah. That's what I think he says. One could question that. Maybe it's not such a covet to dance in the street. I guess it brings people to have more something. We're doing something different. You know, it's in the street. And something to think about. But it's an interesting idea that Rav Shlomo David Kahana had in why it was in the Azara. Okay. Parenthetically, there is a whole discussion in the poskim. Rabbi Kiv Eger in Shulchan Aruch on page 16 has this discussion of whether it's proper to, when you have a shul b'zman hazeh, is it proper to have a tree near the shul, or is that considered a violation? So the Rabbi Kivega says, he quotes from Rav David Armoa, second line. Because of Rav David Armoa, the Perish Lamram, the Afil Eitzel Beis Knesses, also Midrabbanan. And Rav Shechter quotes in one of his Svarim that they say that when Rav Chaim became the Rav in Brisk, he felt it didn't apply to a Beis Knesses. Because certain halachas of Beis HaMikdash apply to Beis Knesset, some do, some don't. It's an interesting idea. Okay, so this is the first part of the shiur. I'm still going to try to end on time. This is the first part of the shiur about this whole discussion about this making the wooden structure, and how does that shtim with this aveira of lo sitolocha asherah kol eitz, and the idea maybe it's l'shah, maybe ezer shnashim is different, maybe there's a difference between one day and 2 days, what we saw in Yerushalmi, all those different ideas. Now let me point out the following. It's interesting, you know, very often the Ibn Ezra and his Perish HaChumash and sometimes the Abarbanel, they have like original Shatim, and they usually go against everyone else, but it's always interesting to get another perspective. So you want to get another perspective, you always look in the Ibn Ezra and you'll get another perspective on things. But it's healthy some to get another perspective. They say, for example, Pasha Shmini, Vahiba Yom HaShmini, right? So when's Yom HaShmini? What day is that? So what does Rashi say? We assume that's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Was the Yom HaShmini. That was the day that the Mishkan was erected. It was the day of the Mises Nadav Aviyu. That's what everyone else assumes. And Ibn Ezra says, no, it was the Yom HaShmini, means the 8th day of Nisan. We assume it's the 8th day of the Miluim, which started in Chav Gimel Adar. So the Ibn Ezra here, he writes, Hakel? Mikesh Sheva Shonim, look in Ibn Ezra, page 17. Tchilas Hashana. Meaning, not what we say. We say you do it, what? At the after the Shemitah year. He says, no, it's the beginning of the Shemitah year that you do the Hakel. The beginning of the Shemitah year. And the, and he writes that again in Parshas Re'eh on page 19. Miketshev Shona B'tchilas Hashona. And it's explained that the Ramban has a whole refutation of that. And Miketz, he says in the one of the, he explains in the Pnei Yerushalayim, Pnei Yerushalayim, the Ramban explains that Miketz, we normally think Miketz means the end. He says, no, Miketz means the katzeh. So it doesn't necessarily have to mean the end, it can mean the beginning. And the way some explain, as we'll say, basically the Shemitah year was the sabbatical year. If you were a farmer, right, so, and it comes to the Shemitah year, so what are you going to do for the year? So basically, you became a kolnik for the year, right? So basically, some of Farshim explained the opinion of the Ibn Ezra and the Abarbanel was that this was like the inspiration for your, like Shana Aleph in Eretz Yisrael, of learning. So you get there, and then, you know, the king, you go to this thing with the king, and now you're fired up to learn for the year. So that's why it makes sense that it should be at the beginning of the Shemitah year, not after the Shemitah year, but, you know, you need the pep talk at the beginning, and that's how the Abarbanel as well explains. Take a look on page 20 in the second arrow. V'lachein tzivash she'me'ashonim lo tiyah kriya tadir b'chol shorakim b'shnas ha'shmita. In other words, he says you don't do this every year. If you do it every year, like I say, he writes, quotes the pasuk of Mishlei, the line before, ha'kar ragelucha b'beis re'echa. If something you do too often, it loses its excitement. You can't do it too often, this thing with the melech. So every 7 years, but he said, "V'chein tziva shahashonim lo tiyah kriya tadir b'chol shana ki'im b'shnas hashmita levi b'shana ha'hu yu penuyim mikol eskeim." Because that's the year that you're not gonna, you don't have to work. So, and it's dafka, the next paragraph in Chag HaSukkos, because by Chag HaSukkos you're ready. Gathered in all the produce from the year before, so now your mind is on learning, because till after Sukkot you're still being osif the things from the year before. That's how the Abarbanel writes, and he writes another fascinating idea on page 22. He writes, He says, "Mokar l'chag simchas Torah." He writes here. He says, "V'gemar amr shoy osim l'melch bima gedola, v'yakorei es haTorah, v'osu pumbi gadol." So then he starts. Kvar reisi kosov. He doesn't say where. He says, "I saw it written that really this took place every year in a more subdued way. That was every year they had this some type of gathering." Like one year they had the Kohen Gadol do read some, like from Bereishis. In other words, the Melech is reading from Devarim, the end. But every year they were leading up to it. The Kohen Gadol, the Navi, the Shofet, Korea Bechag HaSukkos Chelik Min HaTorah. And then, by the seventh year, they get the, you know, the Melech. That's the cream. That's the top. And he says, "Mikan nishra minig b'yameinu shabiyom shmini chag atzeres achron shakorim yom simchas Torah shabo b'yom anu mashlimim hasatora omeg godol shabakol umsayim osa." He says this idea of, in other words, we have a sort of what he says like a zecher lehakel every year on Simchas Torah. He says that's what Simchas Torah is. Usually the Rav in the shul is the one who gets chasim Torah. Somebody buys it for him, but he's like that big figure in the shul, and he ends, and that's some type of zecher zecher l'hakel. Interesting. However, with all this said, with the Abarbanel and the Ibn Ezra, that it was the beginning of the year, we don't assume like that. I mean, we assume it was the end of the it was the eighth year, not the beginning. When the in other words, the pep talk is now when they're going back to work after the you know they're back, going back to college after the shanal. You know they're going back to you know. So what's the idea? So the Kli Chemda writes on page 24. He says, look at the second arrow. He says, Venira, Shazer Inyan Shinitstav Yisrael Bemotsoi Shnas Ashvis Mitzas Hakel, Shamel Bola Zor Makabits Kol Yisrael, Kol of Lam, Mishnah Torah, the Haino Kavan, the Atom Ashilim Shnosa Voda, Zriya Vakzira, Shalom Yutu Has Vishon, Kibishon, Elohim is punished in Masa Yodom, Azosa Melkay Kurl of Lam, Atorak Oros, Lam Aval Pisha Atta Yashil Lachros, Lizrov Lasak Bavodas Adoma, Mikomokom Hakol, who Al Yide Koh Hatorak Dosh Rashkoha Hashem. Whereas in the Shemitah year, you know that it was Nisan, that the year the Torah says you get, it produces for 3 years without doing anything. But once you go back to work, so you think it's me, I work hard, and I kochi v'otzei miyodi. It's all me who gets the produce and everything. So you have to realize that, of course, you have to put in your hashkadlus, but it's all hashkachas Hashem of what's going to. What benefits you're gonna? So therefore, you need that chizuk at the end of the Shemitah. Meaning, you know, we just finished the Shemitah year, so we sat and learned for the year, and now we're going in a you know the society, agricultural society that they have, and now we're going back to regular farm life, and now we need the chizuk. Now we need the chizuk of the Melech to tell us that you know you should realize that. You should realize that it's not you. Of course, you have to do it, but without Hashem's siyata d'shmaya, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, Hashem lo yivne bayis shav om lubo novbo. You want to build something, you want to create something, you want to do something, but if Hashem is not giving you the proper siyata d'shmaya, you can have all the builders in the world, and it won't come to fruition. So that chizuk you need with the Melech and the Torah to. You know, so the Ibn Ezra and Abba Amarnal saying, no, it's the chizuk that the people need before they start the year of their learning to go at. And the Kli Chemda says, well, we don't assume like the Ibn Ezra and Abba Amarnal. We assume it's Motzai. So, and therefore he gives this idea. Oh, just to say one more point. The Gemara Chagiga on page 25, says like this: Tan Rabban Masa b'Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch of Rabbi Lozer shalchol hakbil pnei Rabbi Yeshua b'Pekin. So these Rabbanim went to Rabbi Yeshua, and they said, "Amar lem machidish hayom bebeis hamedrash hayom." So did you hear any new Torah thought in the Beis Medrash today? So he says, "Yeah." Amar lem avol pekin yefshar b'Beis Medrash b'lo chidish. So what's the idea? So he says. Ma darsh hakel asam anoshim anoshim vataf im anoshim boim lilmod anoshim boos lishmoa taf lama boim kidei liten schar lemeviyim. In other words, what are the little kids? And there's a whole discussion: how little do you bring? You know, are they higi lechinuch or even not higi lechinuch? But what's the schar? What's the point to give schar to the parents? So Rabbi Yeshua, so they said to Rabbi Yeshua, Margolis tova haiso b'yedchem v'kashtem lo'obda mimeni. Oh, so it was originally, he didn't tell him this Dvar Torah. Amru lo, talmidechanu mechanu shosim. In other words, Amru lehem afo pikein yefshar l'beis medrash b'lo chiddush. So what's this idea that you this is a special jewel, a special thing, that a special chiddush that he told them about the significance of bringing the little children? So the Meshech Chachma quotes a Yerushalmi in that it was very significant, that this idea was very significant to Rabbi Yoshua. Because Rabbi Yeshua says, "Zochor ani shehaisa imo molechesa arisos lebeisak nesis b'shvil sheidabku ozna b'divrei Torah." That apparently the Yerushalmi says that Rabbi Yeshua, when he was a little child, his mother would always bring him to the Beis Medrash, even though he wasn't on the level to understand anything, but just he should see what it is, he should hear, even though he's not understanding. But, you know, everybody's mind takes pictures. And he should have those recollections. And the Meshech Chochma says that here on page 28, that Rabbi Yeshua, you know, when he heard this idea, he said, "Oh, you know, you didn't want to tell me, and this is so significant," because it's so significant for him, because this explains how his life, because why did he become a Rabbi Yeshua? Because his mother brought the cradle to the Beis Medrash. So when they told Rabbi Yeshua that that's the pshad in Hakel, he said, "Oh, and you didn't want to tell me this vort? This is such a precious vort. Why was it so precious? Because it explained how he became who he became." So it was so meaningful for him. That's what he says. Margolis, Bikashim Lobdom Menesh, Shios Hamamar Kamargolis Tovel Balea, Shagam Imo Osso Kane. So that's why Rabbi Yeshua says, "Oh, I'm so grateful that you told me this Chiddush in the Beis Medrash of that you heard." And it doesn't say why he was so excited. And the Meshech Chochma says, if you look in Yerushalmi, in Devamos, now you'll understand why he's so excited. And I think, perhaps to put it all together, children are very impressionable, and they take in everything. Everything they see, they question, they're at that stage, they take in everything. And I think that's why it was so significant that the children come to Hakel, that they should be there. They should have those pictures in their mind. And I think, perhaps, the whole discussion that we had of how could they have the Bima Shel Eitz, and this teretz, that teretz, I think it's a deeper discussion. Because when we want to have children to have pictures in their mind, and we want to give them some inspiration, so if we're going to give it to them together with Avodah Zarah, so we're going to corrupt them. In other words, we want to give them, the children are pure, especially at that age. And we don't want to, so that's the whole discussion. How are we giving children such a chinuch when there's a chashash of Avodah Zarah in what we're doing? In other words, we're doing this whole ceremony with the melech, and at the same time, it's like Tovel B'Sheretz B'Yodo, because we're taking something that's a shaila of Chukas Akum, of Avodah Zarah. And that's why the Rishonim have this whole discussion, because not just because of the Isser, but because of what the Chinuch of Hakel is all about. And I think a lot of you are soon to become or ready parents of young children, or soon to become parents of young children. And I think that, you know, Hakel, of course, was something, a chizik for all the people, but it was a special idea, and what Rabbi Yeshua was so excited about was the taf, because we have to expose our children to things. You know, Baruch Hashem, you know, my wife is from the Lower East Side, so the Lower East Side, you have a unique thing, you have communal sukkahs, it's a beautiful thing. No, you don't just sit with your family, you sit with the whole community. There's several of them throughout the community. So I said to my son, you know, we have to go. I weren't sure which sukkah Rav David Feinstein was going to be in. So sure enough, two of the meals he was in our sukkah. But I wanted, you know, the children should see who Gedolei Torah are, see different things, because whatever they take in at this age, they're very impressionable. And that hopefully will be a positive influence in whatever children see in these lives, and this was the positive influence that came, you know, every 7 years, this big hakel, and it was something that was very significant for the people as well, the grown-ups. Even whether you say like the Ebenezer and Abarbanel was the beginning, or you say the standard shot is at the end, But Rabbi Yeshua was excited. The Margalis Tova was the Taf, the idea of the Taf, and that idea, and the concept of that at the same time that we're doing this, there can't be any chashash that we're also intermingling something that has a shmek of Avodah Zarah in it as well. So therefore, the Rishonim go to great lengths to explain, no, it's this is the way it was done, and it's not a problem, but besides being a problem of a general way, it's a discussion of chinuch, and especially in this day and age when, you know, we're in the generation of the, you know, I thought I was growing up, you know, it was TV. TVs, that's, now you have the internet, much more than what TV ever had to, you know, whatever negative influences there could be is much more than whatever could have been years ago, and you know, so it's something that has to be, because you know the Shalach Hakadosh says Shoftim v'shotrim titein l'cha b'chol sharecha, which literally means you have to have policemen at the gates of the city, where he says it means every opening in your body there has to be a policeman, whatever you let into your mouth, whatever you let into your ears, your eyes, because you are what you eat, what you see, what you hear, that makes you who you are. And a person sees the hakel, that makes an impression on them. And just to conclude with one last thing that I think I have here, the Rambam in Hilchas Chagiga, I put it in here. Page what? Page 4. So 1 year before Pesach, Rabbi Charlap wanted to say a new pshat in the Haggadah. Afilu kulanu chachamim, afilu kulanu nevonim, mitzvah leinu lesaper b'tzias Mitzrayim. In other words, so he pointed out that this lashon appears in the Rambam by Hakel. Look what he says. In Halacha, page 4, Halacha Vav, second line. Afilu chachamim dolim sheyodim kol haTorah kula chayovim lishmo bekavana gedol yisera. It's a similar thing. In other words, afilu kulanu chachamim, you still have to what? Tell the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And afilu kulanu chachamim, you still have to go to Hakel. So Rabbi Chalap explained, the idea is, because certain things, it's not just the intellect, but the experience. It's the chavaya. I remember, like in YU, when Rav Soloveitchik gave the Yortzeit shiur. It was, it was a tremendous excitement in the air. People were coming from all over. It's an experience. So even though I know what Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is, I already know it. But the, you know, and what a child gets at the Seder, and the same thing over here. But the Rambam is, so Rabbi Chalap was explained, that's what you have in Hakel. It's not just to learn psukim that you didn't know before, but to get inspired by a maimed of the Melech, and that hopefully should leave a roshim on all the people that attend. So even though, unfortunately, we're not privileged to have a real Hakel, since we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have an Azara, but Bez Hashem, every Yontif should be some type of the Abarbanel claims that Simchas Torah is really a zecher to the Hakel. Whatever time it is, we should feel an inspiration from the Yontif, and that should carry us through the year, and also give an opportunity, Yamim Tovim, or an opportunity of chinuch of our children, and Bez Hashem, that should give a proper roshem to them for their future lives.